Welcome to Echo This, the Powering Conversations of Hope and Opportunity. I'm your host, Debbie Wimberly, and today we're diving into an incredible topic that resonates with all of us, the transformative power of music. And the title is The Power of Music to Build Bridges. Music is more than just a sequence of sounds. It's a universal language that transcends borders, cultures, and even time. Today, we'll explore how music serves as a catalyst for meaningful dialogue and foster deep connection, helping to address some of the most pressing issues we face. In this episode, my panelists and I will share how we each view the power of music's lyrics and rhythms to break down barriers and build bridges. So let's dive in to today into how music unites communities and sparks moments, from the anthems that we have shaped our history to the therapeutic harmonies that mend hearts. We'll explore the profound impact of music on our collective journey towards a brighter future. So first, I would like to ask our panelists to introduce themselves, and I will start with Lisa.
Hi, I'm Lisa Jones, a speaker, consultant, and author that leverages the power of humor, gamification, and play as fuel to enhance collaboration, increase engagement, and maximize productivity.
Amy, would you introduce yourself, please?
Hi, I'm Amy Weishaus. I'm a lifelong educator and learner, and my platform and through line through my writings and speaking is the message that every single one of us has the power, the responsibility, and the mission to create lasting joy.
And I'm Debbie Wimberly, a transformational coach, speaker, educator on medical cannabis. And actually, I'm here on a mission to make sure that everybody understands that they are born with an endocannabinoid system that plays an important role in our health and our life. So each of our shows contains 5 segments. And our first segment we're going to dive into is Echoing the Hope. Music has an incredible power to uplift and inspire. Throughout history, there have been artists and bands who is particularly noted for carrying messages of hope and resilience. Can you share some examples of specific artists or bands who are known for their hopeful messages? What are some of their songs or albums that have had significant impact on promoting positive and encouraging conversations about important issues? Amy, we'll start with you.
I started college at a time when music became a very important support in my life. And I realized it as the themes continued and as the music blared in our dorm rooms, how very important music was for the transition in my life. It was the time of folk singing and learning how to play guitar. And I remember how very, very significant all the words became. I followed artists like Joan Baez, and I followed Bob Dylan, Simon and Garfunkel, Peter, Paul, and Mary. And their lyrics resonate with me to this day. And many of them dealt with social justice, but hope for change. I remember the song, "The Answer, My Friend, Is Blowing in the Wind." There was the idea that there would be a nuclear disaster maybe at some time if we didn't get the world together in harmony. And lyrics like that, who can stop the rain of troubles, the rain of nuclear fallout. These were very, very, very serious issues. And the music of the day through these artists gave me hope that I was going to get through, unfortunately, a diagnosis at 19 of a chronic autoimmune disease, Crohn's. So music really was the backbone to those years of indecision, those years of, feeling that I really didn't know where to turn. A song like Simon and Garfunkel's Bridge Over Troubled Waters. I remember playing that over and over and over, and it gave me such a tremendous hope. At the same time, in the lobby or the living room of our dorm, as you entered our dorm, Motown music was on constantly. You know, Sugar Pie Honey Bun, Sugar Pie Honey Bun, and all the, I heard it through the grapevine, and those at the same time, interestingly enough, you had the forces of change and rebellion and hope through the music of the folk singers, and then you had the Motown sound in my dorm. And it was such an amazing combination of hope that through music, we were going to come together, appreciating our plight, our messages, our lives through the music. And that to this day still gives me tremendous hope.
That's a beautiful rendition of songs that you just put out there, Amy. I think that's very nicely done. And I think that we can all walk away with a song that we can hum to there, and that hopefully somebody will go and listen to some of those songs if they haven't heard them today. How about you, Lisa?
Yes, well, music does have an amazing way of lifting our spirits and sparking hope. And one artist that I think nails this is Garth Brooks, especially with his song Unanswered Prayers. This song is like a big hug to me. It reminds us that sometimes not getting what we want can lead to even better things. Think of it like a perfect pick-me-up when life throws you a curveball. And personally, the Unanswered Prayer song has been a lifesaver. During a tough time, this song made me see that there is a silver lining in every cloud. It taught me to keep faith and find hope, even when things don't go as planned. And music does work its magic by hitting us right in the feels, making us laugh, cry, and everything in between, right? So songs like Garth's really show us that every setback is a setup for something better. It's turning tough times into moments of hope and resilience. So I would say to everyone, the next time you need a boost, crank up Unanswered Prayers and let the good times roll.
Thank you, Lisa. I think that's a really good thing to do, is to crank up the music and let the good times roll. this one was, well, as you all know, I love music, so this is always complicated for me to narrow it down to one, but music has played a huge role in my life, especially with dealing with my health issues and finding ways to maneuver through things that I wasn't comfortable with, but I still needed to get through. But there are a couple of things that I want to point out, and Michael Jackson is one of the people that has been very, very important and has made music transcend generations with his message about unity and social change. And these are songs that will live with us forever, and I think they made a really huge impact. But his song, Heal the World, was so important, and we still need that song today. We still need to heal the world. There's so much that is happening in this world that is still not the way we would like for it to be. So his songs often allow for us to have a reflection and collection of actions to create a new future for our generations to come. But then when I think about Pharrell Williams and his song Happy, you can't help but want to dance when you hear that song and move around. And his song became a global anthem for the positivity of inspiring millions around the world to celebrate and dance. So when I think of music, I can't just put music alone, because it also causes me to move and be active. So that's really important. So, you know, everybody, you know, take the time to create your own playlist of uplifting songs that inspire hope and resilience for you. And whether it's creating a calming atmosphere for you to do your chores, or the healing power of music to uplift your spirits, there's a connection there. So share your favorite playlist with a friend or with a family member, and just see what they can what it does for them, and then they'll spark the conversations that we're all looking for. Music does have a way to provide hope and bring a healing component to it for us all. Our second segment is Echoing the Opportunity. Music has a unique ability to bridge gaps and bring people together. In a world where diverse groups often are challenged in understanding and communicating with one another, how can we use music as a tool to foster opportunities for dialogue and understanding? How do you use music to explore and embrace new cultures and new perspectives? Amy?
In the context of Echo, empowering conversations of hope and opportunity, which we are very committed to, I see music with tremendous power to build conversation. This could be at the dinner table. This could be moms and dads talking about the music that powered their lives. I think we'd be surprised to know whether it was rock and roll or heavy metal or whatever it was, and what concerts did they go to, and why, and with whom. And strange things happen, but I think there's a respect for people's music preferences and choices. And I think starting with these conversations right at the table, right at, in the rec room when you're playing ping pong or doing some other family event, or maybe you're in the car on the way to a day trip or somebody's relative's house for an event. I think these conversations about music can be so revealing and so amazing. I also embrace the opportunity to look at song lyrics as poetry. And when students were balking a little bit about, oh, we have to study poetry in English class, I said, well, what about the song lyrics you listen to every day? Let's examine some of them. Bring in your favorite song lyrics. And, they could even play the song to the class and hand out a sheet of paper with the song lyrics there. And we could discuss with the leader, conversation leader, the person who resonated with that song. We could discuss it as a class. And amazing barriers broke down between, oh, you like that too? Well, I didn't think you'd like that kind of music. And wow, hey, let's talk more about this. And you'd be amazed at how they got familiar with imagery, sensory perception, alliteration, metaphors. And, the images would stay with them. And many of the students learned diversity because they were introduced to new forms of music, new forms of poetry, and in essence, new tools for conversation. And this is the opportunity that the power of music holds for every single one of us.
Thank you, Amy. And I think you might be trying to bring back the table conversations. There's so many families that don't sit at a table together today to eat. And I think it's such an important tool to bring together conversations and empower and understand how your family's coping with life and what's happening. And also, when we have a party, we think about this and how many parties do you go to that doesn't have music? They all have music. And I think sitting around the table and having those conversations is really good and just talking about it. So thank you for that. Lisa?
Yeah, speaking of tables, I'm gonna be talking a little bit about that. But music is like the secret ingredient that spices up any experience, especially when it comes to bridging cultural gaps. And music has this magical way of bringing people together. It's kind of like a universal language, but with a catchy beat. So take my international foods class in college, for example. We weren't just chopping veggies and stirring pots. We had a global dance party right in the kitchen. Each time we prepared a cuisine from a different culture, we'd crank up the tunes from that region. Cooking Italian, cue the opera. Making sushi, time for some traditional Japanese melodies. It made the whole experience feel so much more authentic and fun. And we learned a lot about each culture through its music. And music is a fantastic passport to new worlds. By diving into the rhythms and the melodies of different cultures, we can get a taste, pun intended, of their unique perspectives and traditions. It's like traveling without leaving your living room. And music from other cultures can open our minds and hearts, encouraging us to embrace diversity and seeing the world from different angles. So the next time you're cooking up something new, try adding a dash of music from that culture. You will be surprised of how it adds spices up the experience and fosters a deeper connection.
Thank you, Lisa. I love that you talk about culture gaps and using music to do that. And that brings me to a little bit about what I'm going to talk about, which is in 1988, I got to experience what's called the National Folk Festival. And it's something that was in Lowell, Massachusetts, where I lived. And it was something that I'd never really heard much about. So being able to attend something of that magnitude, so there were seven stages scattered around through the city. And you actually could walk the city and go from stage to stage, and they had different bands. There were over 62 or over 72 bands that performed over 3 days. And it was truly a really eye-opening experience, just getting to experience music from all over the world. So people came from all over the world to attend and it was like 150,000 people attended. And then they actually even had booths set up to where you could buy food from those countries and experience the cuisine. So that was really exciting. And then they had also booths set up where kids could learn how to play specific instruments. Everything was free, but the food. That's what's amazing. So being able to attend something on this magnitude was really an eye-opening experience, because if we live in our country where the music is, we often don't get exposed to other music. And I think it's a really transformative experience getting to experience other people's music and dance, and just understanding how they relate to music was really important. So I'm going to leave everybody with a call to action. Create your own harmony festival and celebrate it with a rich tapestry of asking your family members or people in your community to create their playlist and bring their food that would represent whatever country they're from or their family heritage. This gives you the opportunity to share and talk about this. How many of us have been at a table where somebody sets a piece, sets a dish down on the table for us to eat, but we've never tried it before? This is an opportunity to talk about it, bring in the music that surrounds it from your culture, from your history. And if you look at your neighborhoods, everybody on your block comes from someplace else. Their family history comes from somewhere else. So this gives us the opportunity to actually create that in our own little neighborhood. Now, folk festivals still happen today, but we don't hear about them. And I wouldn't have heard about this at all if I didn't live right there in downtown Lowell where this was happening. So I think it's really important to understand that these events do bring us together, and they help us see that we're all very much alike and we all go through the same struggles in life. So create your own little festival and bring it to your neighborhood and see what happens. So now we're going to move into segment three, which is echoing the laughter. And this one is really a fun one. Laughter is a powerful tool for lifting our spirits and fostering a sense of joy and connection. Music, with its ability ev to evoke a wide range of emotions, often includes songs that bring a smile to our faces, making us laugh. Can you share some of your favorite feel-good songs that never fail to make you laugh? What is it about those songs, the lyrics, the melody, or the performance that makes this so enjoyable and humorous? Do you have any personal stories or memories that associate with these songs that add to the charm of the impact? Amy?
I can't picture my life without music. It doesn't always result in a belly laugh kind of laughter, but I think about the music that we would play when our infant was sleeping, thinking about all the research about how listening to music from infancy can help a child's brain development and intellect. And there's so much written about this topic. And then I think about when Barry was a toddler, and I think about, giving him his bath to splish splash. I was taking a bath, and I would get all involved in the music, or how he used to spar on the railing of his crib, up and down and up and down. And that was the time Rocky was in the theater, and the Eye of the Tiger, and all those Rocky songs. He even had a little Rocky t-shirt. And it's the association of the music, I think, as sort of the playlist of my life. Look at how we choose our song as a wedding song, or maybe someone listening has a song when they met someone special and developed a very special friendship. Or I remember at my retirement dinner, I was asked to choose a song that would play, the DJ would play as I walked up to the podium to speak and receive an award. And I remember choosing It's a Wonderful World. And even hearing that song in the background, gave me this sense of peace and joy as I was culminating many years of service in this community. It's a Wonderful World. But I have to say, there was one time I remember, and it just came to me right now, about real laughter. And this is one when our faculty lip sank the song, We Are the World. And we raised money for Live Aid. We did this in the school cafeteria. The kids didn't know what we were doing, but each one of the teachers became one of the celebrities in the song. Want to guess who I was? Diana Ross. So I had this long black wig on. I was in a white shirt, a striking, dazzling red belt, and black slacks. I never looked like that in school. I looked more businesslike with my little jacket and, you know, skirt and whatnot. And I remember one of the women was Cyndi Lauper, and she got real crazy painting her hair. And we had Willie Nelson, and one of the men put braids on for that. And Bruce Springsteen was the dean of students. And of course, Tina Turner was the youngest member of the staff, who also happened to be an industrial arts teacher, but she was hot and she wore the black fishnet stockings. So I'm in my classroom in the morning. The attendance lady goes by like, "What?" And she does a double take. And she's saying like, "Who is that in White House's room? Like, who is that? Whoa." And the kids didn't realize it until I opened my mouth and till we lip sank who we were. But I have to tell you, we came together because of music. It had a message, we are the world. It raised money and it was so much fun. I wish I had the tape of that event. I think of it all the time. So we can create our events. And what about karaoke? Isn't karaoke a wonderful opportunity to create laughter? Especially when you love the people and you know they're so off key, but they're loving what they're doing and you laugh with them, not at them. So that's my little contribution to the power of laughter and music. And I just think I want to go out right now and listen to these songs, put them on my radio and my cell phone, and I just want to enjoy them again. I forgot to mention before, Peter, Paul, and Mary, If I Had a Hammer. I can't get it out of my mind now. If I had a hammer, I'd hammer out love, freedom, justice all over the world. You know, and how can we not feel good and laugh and find joy when we're brainwashing ourselves with all the right words?
Thank you, Amy. I feel like you just handed me a hammer so that we can hammer out and bring joy to the world. So thank you for that. It'll be playing in my head now for the rest of the day. How about you, Lisa?
Yeah, I want to see Amy in that outfit. I wish there, I don't know if you have a photo, but I would love to see that. Here, I have a couple of feel-good songs that never fail to make me laugh, though. And one of them is Michael Jackson's. I know you talked earlier about Michael Jackson, Debbie, but I'm going to bring Michael Jackson back. And I'm bringing back Wanna Be Starting Something. And when I first heard this song, I thought he was singing about vegetables. And the line, "You're a vegetable," made me picture a garden of dancing veggies. And it always makes me laugh. I always just laugh at that out loud. And then the other one is Weird Al Yankovic's Eat It. And that's really a parody of Michael Jackson's Beat It. But Weird Al's twist on the song turns into this goofy anthem about overeating. And the clever lyrics and playful performance always bring a smile to my face. And these songs are enjoyable because of their playful lyrics. They have catchy melodies and also fun performances. And Michael Jackson's dynamic style paired with Weird Al's comedic genius creates a perfect blend of music and humor. And these songs remind me of the joy of misheard lyrics too, and how much music can turn serious moments into pure fun. And they are my go-to for pick-me-up. They're always brightening even the toughest days. And I really do feel that music has a unique power to make us laugh and connect us through shared moments of humor and happiness. So yeah, they're thinking about it now. Now I've got Beat It and Eat It in my head. So thanks for that.
Thank you, Lisa. I think it's interesting that you bring up song lyrics and how we listen to songs and we think we hear words that there weren't in the songs. Interesting enough, I just happened to run across somebody yesterday on YouTube that has a whole show that talks about, are we hearing the lyrics correctly? And he will say a song and then he'll ask if this is the lyrics that it was. And I guess he's using AI to do that. But it's interesting how we always find that I can't tell you how many songs I've been singing along to, thinking these are the words. And then my husband's like, "What are you singing?" And it's like, oh, that's not the words. Oh, I thought that's what the words were. So I think that's pretty cool that you brought that out. For me, this brings me back to some really earlier times in my life. And one of the songs that I want to talk about is Roger Miller's song, You Can't Skate in a Buffalo Herd. It's like, you can't roller skate in a buffalo herd, but you can be happy if you're of a mind to. And it brings me back to the days that I used to roller skate. I used to roller skate a lot. And when I would hear this song and they would play this in the skate arena as we're skating. And so now all the kids start skating as fast as they could. And it's like, okay, now we're looking for that buffalo herd, but we're going to be happy because we all have a mind to. So it's really kind of a cool thing to think about how lyrics can transform and make you do things and be happy. So that, you know, putting roller skating together with music was always a fun thing. So yeah, thank you. Now moving on to segment four, which is echoing the enigma. It's not uncommon for music to contain layers of complexity and intrigue, sometimes featuring puzzles or hidden images or messages. Sometimes they have images on their artwork that add an extra dimension to the listening experience. Can you share some examples of musical puzzles or hidden messages in songs, Amy?
Yes, one in particular comes to mind, and it shows a little bit about the dark side of how music can be perceived by some of the listeners and some of the country at certain points in our history. And that which really stands out with me are the words of a song by the quintessential jazz singer, Billie Holiday. And the name of her song was Strange Fruit. And Billie Holiday, some of you may know from recent days, was the subject of a motion picture called The United States versus Billie Holiday. And it was played by Andra Day, who I believe received the Golden Globe for Best Actor for that role. And the background, the history behind Strange Fruit is that it was in essence a protest song. It was a song in the civil rights movement, which said, there's something going on very wrong here. And the strange fruit that she alluded to hanging from the trees in the South were the twisted bodies of the people who were lynched. It was a very, very strong anti-racism comment. It was very serious. And she had, because of her talent and because of her excellent skill and uniqueness as a jazz artist, she had a following that was of all races. Unfortunately, she had a bout with substance abuse and was in rehab for a year, but only 10 days after she was released, she was headlining at Carnegie Hall in New York. So music, some of the protest songs that I cited from the folk movement earlier, to very serious statements about what is not deemed humane in our society. All of this is still very much in the forefront of life. So it's interesting that Diana Ross also created the role of Billie Holiday in a movie called Lady Sings the Blues. And now it's reincarnated in the movie that was just current, which is, of course, very worth seeing. So the enigma here is that we have music as a very strong force for good, for empathy, for humanity, to try to figure out what other people are experiencing. And sometimes the only way they can get a voice through that is through their music. And another just little sideline to the enigma portion is when music gets too negative in the minds of people, specifically parents, where we have this phenomenon of, just like in the motion picture rating about the decency of a film, that we saw the movement towards parental advisory labels in music. Interestingly enough, those labels are put on by the artist and by the label company. They're the ones who determine if some of their content in their music is going to be questionable or restricted. And it's an effort a little bit to fend off any regulation from, let's say, a government agency by self-regulating. And I think that's interesting too, because it brings up the question, are we aware of what our children are listening to these days? And where's the enigma that all the beauty and joy and all the constructiveness of music for healthy lifestyle and motivation and empowerment, you know, where is it turning bad, where they're being indoctrinated with things that we don't want them to hear? So the enigmas are there, but also the very powerful social force that music plays in very critical times in our lives.
Thank you, Amy. And you started out with food, which is a song called Strange Fruit with that. And so it seems like we have a theme going here today of talking about food. So now I hope everybody is hungry and looking forward to what they get to go eat next. So Lisa, where are you on this?
Well, I'm going to move to puzzles. So music often hides puzzles and secret messages that make listening even more fun. And this is right up my alley, but Taylor Swift is a master at this. She loves hiding secret messages in her album booklets. For example, if you think about Love Story, it's spelled out, "Someday I'll find this." And her music videos are like treasure hunts. In Me, for example, there are clues about her album Lover hidden throughout the video. And Taylor likes to drop hints on social media too. She turns fans into detectives. Before she released Red, Taylor's version, she posted cryptic images that fans deciphered for album details. Now that is gamification at its best. But these hidden messages turn listening into an adventure, and fans get to play detective, making the experience both interactive and exciting. And I think it's fun to decode these clues because it creates a special connection with the artist, Taylor, and her music. And the secret message makes her music more engaging and fun. It adds that extra layer of excitement for her fans. And that's why it's no surprise that she has all these Swifties running around everywhere. And my daughter is a future Swifties, by the way, too. So, yeah.
Future Swifties. I think that that group is growing by leaps and bounds every day. She is truly amazing in what she's accomplishing. And I do like the way that she has hidden messages. She actually puts out little snippets of things to long before her albums come out to actually encourage you to get involved. And people are always trying to second guess what she's putting out and understand what the little crumbs are leading us to. So thank you for that. Well, I come from an era where people talked about backward messages in their music. And there are a couple of things, like even the Beatles song Strawberry Fields Forever. At the end of the track, John Lennon allegedly says, "I buried Paul," which fueled the Paul is dead conspiracy. However, John Lennon claims that he said cranberry sauce. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, because I can't hear cranberry sauce in that and finding that version. But that's really funny that it went from "I killed Paul" to cranberry sauce. And then Led Zeppelin's Stairway to Heaven. Listeners believe that playing certain parts of that song have backward, revealing, hidden messages, although the band denies it. And so that's going to bring me back to Styx and them and their song, their whole album called Kilroy Was Here. And this was a musical concept that they put together, kind of sci-fi narrative. And it is a rock music that talks about music being banned. And even in the song itself, it's like backward satanic messages is being spewed. And that's why we're being shut down. So if you haven't ever listened to this or seen this rock, I call it a rock opera. It was done in 1983. It's really interesting to watch just to see and understand what would it be like if we didn't have music. I think that we need to have music. I think music plays a powerful role. So get involved and listen to what your kids are listening to, your grandkids are listening to, and explore a new message. Be sure that your kids are listening to music that encourages them and uplifts them and provides empowerment. We all play a role in understanding how music interacts with our kids and how they perceive it. So having these huge conversations about what the meaning of these songs is really important. So take the time and listen to songs and talk about the meaning of them. This is going to take us to our final segment, Echoing the Transformation. Music has the power to drive significant change and personal transformation. Can you discuss a pivotal moment in music history that led to a substantial cultural or social change? How did this change or impact the society at large? Additionally, how has your relationship with music evolved as you have grown and experienced different phases of your life? Amy.
I used this question as a springboard to increase my own knowledge about a genre that I'm really not very familiar with, other than knowing that sometimes I don't understand it and I sometimes don't like it, and it's hip hop. And I thought to myself, I know some rappers in the South Florida area. I know some people who aspire to be talented rappers. And of late, I started to think to myself, you know, these young people who are rapping are geniuses. Think about all the memorization, all the poetry, all the imagery that goes into a performance, and just the volume of material that they're writing. Much of it is what comes from the gut. Much of it comes from their life of experience. And a lot of it is tragedy, and a lot of it is sorrow. And it comes out in that music. So I don't think, well, probably yes. I mean, our parents, back in the day, Elvis Presley was not allowed to be seen on, filmed on television below the waist, because it was too suggestive to see him gyrating all over the screen. So, I mean, we've gone from that to some very suggestive and very powerful imagery and performances. But again, these are mirroring life, which is happening and being lived out in neighborhoods that we may not be familiar with, but these are very important transformations. But I wanted to just share what I learned. I think this is fascinating as far as transforming and, if you will, creating an entire culture. There are actually four elements to hip hop, and they are DJing or turntabling, rapping, which is also known as MCing, capital M, capital C, MCing, graffiti painting, and b-boying, which means a hip-hop style of dance, style and attitude with virile body language. And think about how the fashion world has created iconic fashion looks from some of the top designers in the world based on hip-hop clothing. Think about the graffiti, which has been sold as art throughout the world. Now, you may not know this, but hip-hop began in Bronx, New York, and became a worldwide movement, and very easily into the around 1984. So it is a place where women also started to move in and transform their place in the music world, people like Queen Latifah and Missy Elliott. And I remember a group of students came to our high school from a New York City inner city community. And I remember our kids were culminating a writing experience where they wrote letters, handwritten letters to one another in two different schools, an inner city school and a suburban middle class, predominantly white high school. And I remember the kids breakdancing in the hallways, and some of our breakdancers were also very proficient from our community. And I remember the kids coming together and being transformed into one group of students through this hip hop culture and through this hip hop music. So I have this amazing new respect. I didn't realize Queen Latifah was that instrumental in her voice in the beginning of this transformation. So I listen now to hip hop with a transformative viewpoint of how tremendously universal it has become. And it all started in the Bronx, New York. So I find it fascinating. And that's the biggest transformation example that I could appreciate and learn about. I'm happy that I learned some new perspectives, and I want to delve a little bit deeper into this whole phenomenon.
Thank you for that, Amy. I think that gave us all a little bit of an education there that we can all take away with and maybe explore ourselves. So thank you. And it brought me back when you said you weren't really familiar with rap and hip hop. It brought me to a song by Chris Renee called Chains. And it's like, are you ready to break these chains? Are you ready to fly away? We are made for more than this. Time is all we've got to give. We don't have to live this way. Are you ready to break away these chains? Ready to break these chains. So that's just a little bit of that song. So if you haven't heard that song, go listen to it. It's pretty powerful and pretty beautiful. Okay, Lisa, where are we going to go with your transformation here?
Well, I did have a little comment about what Amy just said, because as you were talking, Amy, it reminded me, because I'm a big fan of rap and Queen Latifah and all that kind of stuff. But then also, I did take breakdancing classes when they were popular, I think in the late 80s, I think, and I wasn't very good at it. So I guess technically I could have talked about that in Echoing the Laughter, because it was comical trying to get me to watch me to do some breakdancing, but my brother ended up being really good at it. But yeah, that whole B-boy thing, like we can talk hours about that. But to answer your current question, Debbie, I want to talk about how music has the power to drive significant change and personal transformation. And one pivotal moment in music history was Janet Jackson's Rhythm Nation. So if we think about Rhythm Nation, the album, it was really a call for unity and social change. It addressed racism, poverty, and education, and it really became an anthem for social justice, pushing for change within society and influencing artists to blend entertainment with activism. And Rhythm Nation broke barriers. It showed that pop music could tackle serious issues and be commercially successful. And it also inspired many artists to incorporate social messages into their work. So I really think that Janet Jackson was a control agent there, moving artists forwards. And speaking of, I meant to say change agent, because now I'm going to talk, I was thinking of Janet Jackson's Control album, which I want to talk about next, because that whole video and album that she did was so transformative for me. And that's really how I learned to dance. I danced to her music. She had a video series that she put out that you can purchase, and it helped me to gain confidence for myself and also take control of my life, much like Janet did with that powerful album. It taught me to embrace my strength and independence. And as I've grown up, my relationship with music has evolved. Janet Jackson's empowering music was just a big part of my early journey, and different genres and artists have accompanied me through various stages, helping me to navigate life's experience. But that's just two of her albums that were very pivotal in my early years.
All right, now you've got me curious about your break dancing. Just letting you know, I think about me trying to break dance, and that's like, no, that's not happening. But I would love to just, you know, I love dancing shows and watching people move, and I think that's, you can't move without music. So I think that's really important to bring this up and talk about that, that it doesn't just create conversations, it creates movement, and we all need to be moving and being more active. So I think that's really important message there. So thank you for that. Well, for me, this has been, I've gone through so many journeys of music in my lifetime. I started out and I was raised on gospel music. And then I actually learned to transition to other types of music as I met other people. And that's the one thing I give myself a good report on, is how I'm so accepting of different genres of music and how they play. But there's a couple of times in my life where music has really made a big impact on me. And one of them was Live Aid in 1985. And it was organized within 10 days to raise funds for famine relief in Ethiopia. And it was one of the largest scaled musical events that we've ever had, with over 75 bands and acts performing on a stage in London and Philadelphia, and it raised over $125 million in 2 days. And my husband and I sat for 2 days and recorded that whole show. We didn't miss a beat. We took turns hitting the record button so that we could capture all of this, because it was so powerful and so impactful. It was transformative for us. And I'm not sure if that's still available on video today, but I think seeing all of those amazing artists come together from every genre and sharing their voice to make sure we make a difference so no one is going hungry in this country. That is the things that we can do with empowering conversations of hope and opportunity. And it can be done through music. So I say, take a moment, figure out how you can use music to enlighten someone else's day today. And how can you give them a message of hope and opportunity? So is there any final comments that anybody would like to add here?
I would. I know that this topic is so exhilarating and so motivating and so deep. There is so much available. When I was mentioning about our parody of the song We Are the World, there was so much laughter generated from that, because the teachers were willing to laugh at themselves and be these caricatures of these very iconic stars. And it's just a model of going a little bit out of the box and adventuring and creating something new. And although we could have several episodes on this topic, I just wanted to mention that there are so many psychological benefits and health benefits to music, to listening to music. I was fascinated by articles I found about surgeons listening to music during operating and what music they listened to, from Brazilian jazz to classic rock to heavy metal. And it said that it really helped them. One plastic surgeon did better stitches when listening to his favorite music. So I was thinking, because I've also wondered about the power of music for the patient undergoing the surgery and having a playlist of their own music that they listen to in the operating room. So there are so many interesting sidelines like that to music and how it motivates. And I love when Lisa says it's a passport to new worlds, and it's a passport to empathy and understanding diversity and inclusion. And it's also a passport to better living our own world, in that we're maximizing. Some people believe that music helps people sleep better, eat less, believe it or not. There's some stories about that. And when you think about somebody, Debbie just said, moving is so important, moving to the music. Go to a Zumba class and you'll find socialization and you'll find healthy movement for your body and the great salient effects of music. Beautiful. So there's this whole other area our listeners can explore, and we hope that we've tapped the well and just shown you just how much of a conversation motivation music can be.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think that we can have additional episodes, like, because we were just giving examples. There's so much more to explore. And the other thing I thought of is it transcends generations, and even like the age isn't, for example, my daughter, who we made this video when she was 2.5 to Dua Lipa's song, Don't Start Now. And she's 6 now. And the other day she said to me, oh, mommy, can we make an updated video from the last time I was dancing at 2.5 to Dua Lipa's Don't Start Now? Like, she remembers that song. That's how pivotal it was to her, which I think is really kind of cool. And so that's our next project. But yeah, like, that's just one song like that is memorable. Like, I don't remember what I was doing when I was 5, but apparently, like, when you're 6, you still remember when you're 2. Anyway, that's a whole nother subject. Back to you, Debbie.
Thank you, Lisa and Amy. That was a great way to wind up this show. And you know, even for me, I think that understanding, I go to sleep with music every night. I put my earbuds in and I find a playlist, and I create my own playlist, by the way, because I want to make sure I'm using songs that uplift me through the day. I want to find songs that help me mellow down and go to sleep at night. So music is a way to do that, but also sharing that music with others is so important. I can remember when I introduced my son to our playlist that we had been creating over the years, because like when we got married, we created this whole playlist, and reel to reel, it was back before we had all the technology that we have today. And we spent hours and hours putting this together, and then forgot to turn it on when we got married. So it's kind of funny. It should have been under maybe our laughter piece again. But, you know, those songs, we spent hours trying to put together a message that would convey how we felt about one another. And we shared that with our son, and him learning those songs and what they meant to us was so pivotal for him to, and he really learned to like some of our music. So, you know, I think that being able to do that is really a great way to connect with your kids and to connect with other people. So we want to extend a heartfelt thank you for joining us today on this journey through the intricate and captivating world of music and its ability to entertain, inspire, and provoke. It can make us laugh, cry, and ponder the deeper meaning of life. It's universal language that brings us together, transcending barriers and uniting us through shared experiences and emotions. We hope you enjoyed today's show as much as we enjoyed putting it together and bringing it to you. We would like to hear from you and know how music impacts you and how you use it. So you can reach us on LinkedIn at Echo, on LinkedIn or Instagram at Echo Together. That's Echo, the number 2, GETHER. Or you can email us at echotogether@gmail.com. Thank you very much. And I hope you keep exploring, keep listening, and keep echoing.